It's hard making it in the music industry, especially if you're a great band out of Morgantown, West Virginia. After 7 self-releases and minor media coverage, alt-rock duo False Pterodactyl have come to the realization that they may never break into mainstream music, but at least they're making the eclectic music that they want to make. We sat down with the alt-rock duo to talk about their new release, Low, what it means to be a DIY band, and the West Virginia music that should be on your radar.
I'm Jake, I sing and play guitar.
And I'm Josh, and I play drums, and I sing a little backup sometimes.
So how did you all get started with False Pterodactyl?
I was living in Braxton County, and I was having these like weekend jams in my dad's garage, and then Josh was friends with my little sister, and she's like, "Oh, my friend Josh plays drums." I'm like, "Well, have him come out and play," and we jammed, and it was really fun, and it sounded pretty cool, and he lived up here at the time, so I was like, "Well, I'm gonna move to Morgantown and start a band," because we've known each other since we were little kids. We were on the same Little League team back in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was a horrible baseball player, and music was a little, well, not saying I'm not terrible, but not as bad as baseball. So, yeah.
Then you're not really from Morgantown then, but you're transplanted here then.
Yeah. Well, I came to school here, so I graduated in 2011 from WVU, and then I've just been kind of kicking around up here ever since. But yeah, we were originally both from the Flatwoods area. I grew up there. Yeah, that's where the band, I guess, originally, we first started jamming, was down there. So I guess we're kind of back and forth. We're proud of our West Virginia heritage more than...
Yeah, like we're a Morgantown band, but we can't say we're from Flatwoods because no one knows what Flatwoods
yeah.
is. So. I've never even thought or heard of bands that are from Flatwoods. I mean, do you have any other bands that are contemporaries or ones?
One would be Crypt Orchid Chipmunk, and you'd have to be a little older to know them because they were a ska punk band in the 90s. They played with 69 Fingers and stuff like that back in the day. You remember those guys? Yeah, and that's another band that moved. It was the only other band that was in high school when I was in high school. And then they moved up here for college, and they had a pretty good thing going there for 10 years. And,
so really right now, you all are kind of the band, even though you're still kind of Morgantown-ish, you're the Flatwoods band.
Right, us and Jerry Douglas.
Oh yeah, Jerry Douglas has got family from Braxton, so we always say that he's from Braxton.
But. Yeah. they try to claim him.
They try to claim Jerry Douglas, but
he was on Mountain Stage recently. I think it was last year. I think.
Cool. My dad is good buddies with his brother, so he's got to jam with Jerry a little bit, which I think is pretty cool.
Jam with Jerry sounds like a good little community fundraiser of sorts.
He actually did play a couple shows it's in Heaters, West Virginia, which is just about 3 miles from Flatwoods, which is where I'm from. He came and played, I think, with his dad and a couple other people at this little kind of cafe restaurant thing, on Friday or Saturday nights for a little while. They had this bluegrass jam going on there. So I guess there is some music in Braxton, but it is more there's some bluegrass jams that go down. As far as rock or anything like that, there's not much of that going on.
Or have any bands really come up after you all that you...
There's one, some friends of mine, they have a band called Electric Green Machine. That's a sludge metal band. And they're actually guys that I used to jam with too. So their drummer was the drummer in my first band in high school.
Okay, so this is going to bring up a really good point. That is an interesting name for a band, Electric Green Machine. You all have a very interesting band, obviously, False Pterodactyl. Where did that band name come from? Are you all dinosaur enthusiasts or something else?
Well, we obviously like Jurassic Park, I guess.
It was weird because we spent after we started the band, we started writing songs and stuff, and it took a month or two to pick a name, and it got to the point it just became frustrating, and so we're just having a really random conversation in my dad's driveway one evening with some friends, and got stuck on this idea of a guy wearing a pterodactyl costume. So
We would think we were originally going to be John Brown Pterodactyl.
It's going to be John Brown Pterodactyl, but the guy who we were going to name it after, it was kind of wild and was worried that he might...
Yeah, it wasn't the historical John Brown. It was
See, that's what I was thinking. It was a historical, like Harper's Ferry, burned down, all that. No, it's another crazy John Brown.
I guess. But we settled on False Pterodactyl just because, like, number one, I mean, like, it's really easy to Google, you know? And, like, you have to have that nowadays, I figure, if you want to have someone find you. And then it was just weird, and what's nice about it is it doesn't really, like, imply a certain kind of music, so we can keep changing and doing different kinds of music and not worry too much about, like, oh, does that fit the image of the band or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really think we have an image, so... And if it just keeps changing.
I think if anything, we work a little bit at not projecting, you know, not intentionally projecting like a certain image for the band. It seems contrived, and I don't know, we're always kind of worried about that. I don't want to seem contrived.
Yeah. I don't really get that vibe from you all. And from what I've seen online, it sounds like you guys are just an eclectic, fun-loving bunch. Like, I'm looking at all the influences that have been written down, you know, from you all. Like, I think on your Facebook page, it says that you were influenced by Punk Family, Hadaway, who's the 90s, you know, one-hit wonder, more or less, and Existential Terror. Those are the three things on your Facebook page that you say are influences. I've seen on another page, though, that you list your influences as the Pixies, Nirvana, Flat Duo Jets, Drive-By Truckers, The Stooges, and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. When we first started, we kind of had that like two-piece bluesy, like rock thing going, and so I got really into just like two-piece bands, like Flats, Duo Jets, and or you know White Stripes, I guess. But I'm not like I've never like really been like hardcore into any particular kind of music, mm-hmm. and I like Nicki Minaj, and she just does really cool things vocally, so. It's interesting. Like, I can not get bored listening to it.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know, a lot of our songs, I think the lyrics are definitely hip-hop influenced, which is cool. I think as far as keeping it from sounding like just, like, I don't know, I'm going to sound pretentious trying to...
Do it. Just do it.
Well, I think we've always really, in trying to stay away from being contrived, we've tried to stay away from being, like, just a punk band or just... you know, like a two-piece mm-hmm. blues rock band or whatever.
Which really works against you because everyone, like there's scenes, you know, and like we just keep jumping back and forth between like the indie rock and the punk.
Yeah, we've played gigs with DJ, like EDM DJs with acoustic acts, with punk acts, with
metal,
heavy metal, Juicifer, you know, just we've played with everybody, which is fun, but it makes it maybe a little more difficult to like, because people, I wouldn't say want to pigeonhole you, but they definitely want like a sound bite that can describe you or something, or like a one song that kind of encapsulates. Yes, does that.
I do that all the time.
So.
Well, I see the issue. It's you're not trying to limit yourself, but by doing so, you're not giving people the ability to kind of figure out whether they want to like you or not, like an easy way, like a recommended if you like the Black Keys or the White Stripes. Instead, you all switching your sound around so much and just being so eclectic, you know, people are confused and they don't want to think.
Right, and it was nice though, because like I like, you know, I feel like if someone takes the time to listen to us, they can do it like on a song by song basis. Because when people tell me like, oh. We don't just have one song that everyone's like, oh, we love that one song. It's like everybody kind of has a different song that they like. And I like that because I guess it just means that
we don't have to keep playing that one song over and over. And that's part of why is we honestly just we both tend to get bored with stuff pretty quickly. And we like to move on to the next thing. I mean, I don't think that I could still be playing the same songs that we came out with like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and, you know, it shows and not just be sick of it, so.
Well, you guys have released a lot of great music from the time you started, I guess in 2012, around that time, till now, and your newest release was actually about a month-ish ago. So I was looking into your catalog, and it seemed like 2012, with your debut, you kind of had some scuzzy garage rock kind of sound. I mean, if you're gonna pigeonhole it, probably be in the vein of Jack White or the Black Keys. Then your later releases kind of went into a more polished power punk rock sound. With your newest LP, it Low, it seems like seems like I'm getting a lot of tweets on my phone. It seems like you're getting more into like a, I don't know, like an early 90s back psych rock kind of feel. Is that how you'd describe your record if you could?
Yeah, I think I tried to make this one a little more psychedelic. Just that's kind of what I've been into lately, listening to. I got really into like Six Organs of Admittance and that really lo-fi sound. And this album we just released was kind of just supposed to be something to do, because we had a whole album written and like half recorded, and then we were gonna start drums on Monday. Josh broke his leg on a Sunday, so I was like, we've got all these chill songs that we kind of edited out of that album, and it's like, I kind of want to work these into an EP, and then ended up writing a couple more songs and digging some old ones out, and I just wanted to make it like, just different, not super accessible. Like, I wanted to have a really lo-fi vibe, just because I got this old tape recorder, like, you know, an old four-track tape machine, and that just uses cassettes. And it's like what I had when I was a kid when I would record music, so it was really fun to, like, get back into that and use it. And I was listening to U92, like, a year ago, and they played a song of ours, and I never thought of us as being psychedelic, but the DJ said, that's one of the more psychedelic songs from False Dirt.
So U92 kind of told you, this is your sound, you need to make more music like this.
Yeah, like, opened me up to the idea, again, like, oh, this is another possibility of what we can do, and, yeah, it was just, like, fun to work on.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah, I was in a car accident on November 1st, and broke my leg, so that kind of put this album we're working on now on hold, and like you said, you know, so they kind of forced us to do some non-traditional things with the percussion too, which got it even further out there. You know, we did, I don't think there's any traditional like drum set, you know, kick, snare, cymbals, that kind of thing on any of the songs. There's some things, but you know, we just tried to mix it up. We used chimes, we used hand claps, we hit weights with a stick, you know, just to...
Just all the stuff we had laying around in our practice spot, trying to like, just not do things we'd done before, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of as we were working on it, we had this feeling that like this is going to be something that people either are really into or they're really not into. Like it's going to elicit some response from people, whether you know positive or negative. And so, you know, I'd say that's kind of played out. Like a lot of, no, I wouldn't say a lot, but we've gotten people who say they really dig it, but you know, I wouldn't say it's like one of our most popular releases in terms of like,
it's still got like those poppy elements to it, but just like the sound of it is I think not a lot of people listen to lo-fi music, and so we kind of made this one for people that do, because I listen to a lot of lo-fi music.
Well, going back to that eclectic feeling, I mean, I like being able to bounce out some kind of, you know, garage rock kind of thing with maybe something that's a little bit more psychedelic, with maybe something that's a little bit more pop-based. So, I mean, flipping through your catalog was just interesting because it went everywhere, but it kept my attention, though. Like, I couldn't really track what you all were doing. So it was good in a way. You kept me guessing. So you're saying then that this wasn't maybe your... you know, the best record in terms of critical response to it. What would you say is that record of your catalog?
Dirt Star was a lot of people really liked that one. That was the one we did last year. But honestly, I think Sweet Jesus was the album that like most people really. That's the one where like the few.
And that was your 2014 release, right?
Right. Yeah, with 19 songs on it.
And,
but yeah, that's the one like because we have a few fans scattered around like. You know, places we've never been, and that's the one that those people seem to like the most.
Like where?
Yeah, we have like a
I don't know,
like a fan in Vancouver. Is that where it is?
Yeah, I think Vancouver. There's some I don't know.
We've sent CDs to Australia.
We're on all these like random like Russian torrent sites, you know. So we've got people like that will download our stuff that are from like Russia or from somewhere in Eastern Europe, because you know you can see the email address and it's always at like some strange country far off. So. Yeah, it's wild. There's not like a ton of them, but they're out there, so it's kind of...
How? Like, how is it that you, from Flatwoods, Morgantown, West Virginia, are able to get that music to Russia? I was going to say Soviet Russia. It's not Soviet Russia, but...
Like, they just have these, like, bots that, like, anything you put on SoundCloud, maybe, or Bandcamp, it just kind of downloads them and then puts them back up to download again.
But I thought it was really vindicating because it's like, well, this is worth it for them to
check it out.
Yeah, pirate or whatever. So cool.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think some people have just found us through Bandcamp, you know, just the Explorer feature on Bandcamp or searching through the tags. So some people have told us they found us that way. Yeah, I don't really know. It's kind of random, I guess, with the internet, how things
get passed around. Yeah, social media, like just how... Because I've found just totally random bands before and artists and stuff that are just like, you know, quote unquote nobodies, but like really cool.
Yeah. Some of my favorite stuff I've found lately has been, you know, like videos on YouTube that have like a couple hundred views or something, and you're just like, wow. So I guess that, you know, that has a lot to do with how people have found us, because we're not the best at self-promotion at all. We're
the worst at self-promotion.
Yeah, we are. We're really bad. We're really bad at it. I don't know. It's
not why I play music.
It's not the thing that we want to do, and we don't do it really.
Well, let's talk about that then, because you all are, I mean, I've seen it described, you know, you all described it as this, you're a DIY band. You basically do everything. That's, you know, from production all the way to promo and release. And how hard is that, being able to do everything, making sure you have the album cover? And
I mean, it's nice to have, because we have obviously complete creative control over everything and every, you know, we book where we want to tour. I mean, and that is difficult. That is difficult to do on your own, because you got to get used to being told no, you know, when you're doing those things. And it's tough when it's your own, I guess, personal. You feel like it's a part of you sometimes you're putting out there, which, you know, is part of the difficulty.
Yeah, I can't write press releases. I always have other people write that stuff for me, just because, I don't know, I'm supposed to write about the stuff that I write, and I felt like that the whole point of writing it was to, you know, say something. I don't need to say something about that, really. Like,
it is tough to talk about the things that you do, I think, because it takes away some of the mystery of it, I guess. I don't know, because we're not really...
So we're going to stop this interview right now. We're just done. Well,
yeah, I don't know, though, because we're not... I guess the way our songwriting process is not super analytical or anything. It mostly comes out of jams, you know, practice. We'll just get up and...
Yeah, we have songs where I'll just, like, you know, blatter nonsense into the microphone, and we record practices, and then I'll, like, break it down phonetically and be like, well, that sounds like this word, and then just start writing from there. And it's actually really fun to do that, because... Mm-hmm. It kind of lets it be, I don't know, like, it's, you're not, like, writing a narrative or, like, trying to, like...
not trying to force anything on.
Yeah, you just get in a mood and you write, and then, like, you feel like you're almost grabbing at random things and just putting them all together, but then, like, in retrospect, you look back and it's like, well, I was in this mood, so everything that was seemingly random actually is, you know, bound together by this, like, vibe that I was in when I was writing, so, like...
I was reading something recently, with the passing of Bowie, that... The way that he and Queen came together to write Under Pressure was just them getting together and Bowie saying, okay, guys, let's just improv. And Queen is like, what are you talking about? We have to have something written down. Bowie's like, no, let's just go in the studio and do shit. And so they get in there, and it wasn't even like, Under Pressure wasn't even the original title. It was supposed to be People on the Street, which wasn't even supposed to be in the song. It's just them saying, people on the street. And so I mean, it's that kind of just weird creativity where you're just putting shit out there, and maybe some of it doesn't work, but maybe it does.
Yeah, it's like you don't edit while you're writing, you know what I mean? So, like, we just, and I like to revise songs now. I haven't done that. Low was the first album that I've actually, like, sat down and, like, revised the songs after first writing them, which I'm going to keep doing that, because I was stoked with how it came out, so I was like, well, might as well, like, because we always had this, like, kind of punk idea of, like, we just write a song. If it's a minute and a half long and it's only just a verse and a chorus and a verse, then that's it. That's the song. I'm not going to, like, shoehorn all these different parts into it just because a song is supposed to have a bridge and things like that. But I feel like that's, like, a contemporary thing, too. Like, a lot of the music I like of a lot of genres, they don't really stick to that, you know, verse, chorus, verse. Kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if we have maybe one or two songs that go like verse, chorus, verse, bridge, you know what I mean?
I'd say we have a few, like, but that was another part of it. It's like, well, this is just like your classic pop structure.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, we'll just let it be what it is. You know, like, if you got another idea, write another song.
Yeah, I mean, you could just, like, what you did for that. I mean, what was it? Which record? The last one? Dirt Star, you did 19 songs on it.
Oh, that was Sweet Jesus.
Or Sweet Jesus. So Sweet Jesus, you know, 19 songs. If you want to do another song, do like 18 more of them after the first one. Mm-hmm. So why not?
I don't know if 19 songs on an album was like There's a couple we could have probably dropped off.
Yeah, that was like, one that's just for sure. it was a hellacious process getting that album done too. We did the drums to a click track, to a metronome, which I hadn't done before, and that was, you know, that was kind of brutal. And then just the mixing process of, you know, mixing
was just
19 songs.
Awful. I just was so over it by the time we were done, you know what I mean? Like, it was really stoked to work on the next thing. But we spent the first 2 years as a band just trying to catch up, because we wrote, you know, a lot of songs when we first started. And we still write a lot, but now it's a little more structured. But we're just like, we have to get these songs recorded, but we can only put so many songs on an album. But like the songs were coming faster than we could get them recorded. So we played catch up for a while, and now we're actually like caught up.
Yeah.
And this is really fun because it's taken us in a new direction too. We have a new member who couldn't be here today. He was working. And me and him are writing this next album, like revising it together, which is really cool because we've never had anybody else like join us in that
context. Yeah,
we've had other people on albums, like Tyler from Good Wolf, like sang backup on a song, and this Chris, he's been on a couple songs of ours before. He's like an old roommate of mine, and our bands have toured together, and he was just like, he fell right in, and he's got a move in May too, so we're just gonna do an album with him and, you know, a tour and everything, and then when he moves, either find somebody else to kind of come play with us, or we'll just keep doing our thing. Whatever, honestly, I'm really fickle, so like, whatever, you know, I feel like doing, I just have to do that, otherwise I lose interest really quickly.
So Chris is in another band right now?
Yeah, he's in Humans, Etc., and I don't know if you can cuss on this.
I did earlier.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's the main guy from Fuck Your Birthday, too, which I don't know if you've heard of them, but we did a split with them that came out this past summer.
Oh, okay, so I saw that. So that was, yeah, that was Future Teller?
Yeah. And that was like, because we were just like buddy bands, like they're just good friends of ours. Like I said, we toured together, like me and Chris had lived together. We'd always jammed, and it was like, that split was like us doing impersonations of each other's bands. Like, you know, like, because we first wrote the first song on that Nothing, I was like, we literally wrote it like, let's write a Fuck Your Birthday song. And he ended up doing the same thing. So we both got two songs. It's like, this is us. This is our impression. This is like what we think you sound like.
Yeah.
And so we put it together. And I was stoked on that one too. Because it was like a departure for us that kind of started this whole thing that we're doing now too.
Yeah, that like took us in a heavier direction and in a weirder direction at the mm-hmm. same time. So I think this the album that just came out is our like this is the weird part, and then this new album that we're working on, it'll probably be out in a few months, is much heavier and like more traditionally rock and roll, like full drums and. I'd say now probably we should mention System of a Down as a big influence, because I feel like that's where System of a Down, like Deftones, almost like old Slipknot, maybe. Like weird new metal. We're bringing new metal back, yeah, I think, with this one.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, because that's...
We might pick up a like an MC or something, and we'll have some rapping, you know, we'll do...
Brilliant!
We've done shows where we have friends that rap, and we've played like, you know, like hippie house parties and stuff, where he'll bring his drums and I'll bring a bass or a guitar, and we'll just like lay beats down for people to rap over, which is like the most fun thing to do. So.
Oh yeah.
Well, is there a West Virginia rapper in particular that you'd want to be included on like this little revival of sorts?
Well, I would like to have Chris Allen come do a verse, because I don't know if you've heard of him, but
he's not the American Idol guy. That's okay. I was gonna say I didn't know that he rapped. All right. So who's this Chris Allen?
Chris Allen. He goes to school up here, and he's from like the D.C. area. But I met him because I was I do sound at 123, and he would come do open mics, and we just became friends. And he started putting a band together because he wanted to have a backing band, and I played guitar with him. And we've, you know, we've jammed and stuff like that quite a few times. And he's just a really cool guy, like really talented, you know what I mean? And just knows how to work a crowd, like it's so good. If you ever get the chance to see Chris Allen, you should, because it's pretty tight.
We should get a homie from Dinosaur Burps on it too, if we're gonna do it.
Oh yeah, I don't know that guy, but like,
yeah, I don't either.
Like huge Dinosaur Burps fans. It's like exactly the kind of hip hop that I like, so.
Yeah, like we need to meet them. Beer. And yeah, we need to meet those dudes. Mm. Well, I mean, the names even kind of work out.
You probably know them, right?
Like, yeah.
So I have friends that know those guys too.
Yeah, I would say, and even Dinosaur Burps, like they, I was kind of surprised they didn't blow up last year.
Right.
But yeah.
They put out an awesome album, you know? But that's West Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, Good Wolf put out an amazing album too. And,
it's really like, to me, I know all these bands that I just like, I look up to them and I'm like, man, you guys are so good. Like, but I guess it's just how things are now.
It's a weird culture. I've noticed, like, in the last year, obviously, it seemed like Ona, Tyler Childers, Roswell Kid, of course, they're always touring. Christian Lopez band out of Martinsburg done pretty well for themselves. But a couple come from this huge pack of West Virginia talent, and then the rest are just kind of left there for people to discover themselves. Which is like, is that our own fault and not promoting our music or getting West Virginians out to support it so that other states can see how great we are and they could push in their states? Is it just something else? I don't know. That's a question I've been thinking of the last year. Like, what is it that we're doing wrong here? Because obviously we were making great stuff. It's just that it's not reaching certain people or it's not making some connection. I don't think that's exactly our fault.
I don't think it's our fault at all. I mean, I think a lot of it is just we're not like, there's not like a lot of media based in West Virginia. Like, because this is like one of like three interviews we've ever done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, because like, you know, in New York, you're going to meet people. Cause I feel like it could also, it's who you know. And like when you live in West Virginia, you just don't have opportunities to know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is why we tour a lot. But still, it's like, it's harder to like form those relationships on tour too, because you're always like go, and you don't really get to sit down and meet people that aren't just in the other bands and stuff like that. So it's weird, because I mean, I always felt like West Virginia just had great musicians, because I lived in Asheville, North Carolina for a while, and that's just a town full of people playing music. And I thought, like, well, I moved down there and everybody's just going to be amazing, but it's still the same. It's like you got, like, what, like 10% on the top that are really good, you know what I mean? And it's something like that, you know what I mean? And it's the same here. It's like what's good is just so good. And it would be, like, really depressing, I think, if I thought about it too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
But just stay busy and not.
Yeah,
hope maybe something will catch on. I don't know. Like, I feel like, because me and Tyler from Good Wolf have talked about this too, like the game, you know what I mean? You got to get your band big. And I'm like, I don't know. That's.
Well, it's. I feel like with some bands, you're right. They, if you don't get enough cred or if you don't get enough press or media coverage, then you feel like, well, what did I do wrong? Am I not that great? I think I like my stuff. Well, I guess people don't if they're not talking about it. And I don't think that's the case. I think you're right. It has most of it to do with just media coverage of it, and we just don't really do that well.
And Morgantown is a little kind of the exception for West Virginia, but overall in West Virginia, I just, you know, there's not like, we don't have a great youth culture, maybe, you know, like we just, there's just outside of, you know, Morgantown, Martinsburg area, maybe Charleston, Huntington, there's not really any venues. I mean, Clarksburg, you've got Main Street Cafe for sure. But you know, that's still, there's not a lot in each, you know, in the communities. There's, you know, in Braxton County, I had nobody to play with. I had a band for a little while in high school, but we played the talent show, that's it, you know, or like a house party, you know? So there was just, there's no really where to play. There's not, you know, growing up, even I had to go, you know, we had to drive 45 minutes to get somewhere that sold CDs, and an hour to drive somewhere that they weren't edited, you know, to get past a Walmart. So to even really get into music on that level, you had to kind of be dedicated enough to seek it out and to seek out people to play with, or just, you know, or be dedicated enough to play on your own. And that's, I don't know, I think not having a lot of musicians hurts that, you know, the DIY, like, local scene, which, you know, in turn hurts the turnout to why there's not huge support.
There's just not a lot of people. Like, if you consider we're a state with, like 1.8 million in the state, and, like, half of them are over, like, 50, right? So, and then, like, you know, like, I feel like if we were a country band and doing good, it would, like, fall together, because that's just what people listen to around here, you know?
Well, that's what sells CDs still, I mean, around the nation. It's like, if you're a country artist, people are going to buy your CDs. If you're indie rock or pop, probably not. They're going to probably stream it instead. for whatever reason.
Yeah, I feel like the indie stuff though is a little more like what's it look like? There's more of a smaller niche of people that even get into that stuff, and then there's just such a variety. Because I feel like if you're into that, you probably are in a band. So it's like there's just like the number of people that are in bands to like who are the audience is like the ratio
is off. It's a little skewed
off.
Now. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, that's the thing about like you know our tours and stuff that we've done, and we've made a lot of band friends in other cities and in you know, like Philadelphia, New York, East Coast especially, and especially in New York, it seems like. Everyone is in a band, like, yeah. So it's tough for even in New York. It's tough for local bands to get a draw. You know, it's tough everywhere right now. We've played Brooklyn a few times, and we've had you know some mixed success there. But even our you know the New York friends tell us like it's tough all over right now. I think
oversaturation.
Yeah,
because we've gone to Brooklyn, and like our friends that we stay with up there, like weren't able to come to our show because they had a show. That night too, you know what I mean? It's like then we all meet up after the show at their house, but yeah, it's interesting. Like, but that's just how it is. I don't know. I don't let it like things change, you know. And
yeah, I mean,
how music is perceived because nowadays it's not like. Because I remember when I was a kid, it was like being in a band would be the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. Even just a few years ago, like when I first came up to WVU in 2007, I was talking about this last night. I think the first show I saw in Morgantown was The Greens at 1-2-3. Right. And yeah, and I remember thinking then just being even though like a little like geeked out like if I could play at 1-2-3 like that would just be like you know this is my dream or whatever you know and it was I don't know like live music still kind of had that like that air of. Like coolness about it, or something, you know what I mean? Like I don't know.
Well, it still does though. Maybe it doesn't here in West Virginia, but if you go anywhere else, like you're still gonna get that special, I don't know, magical thing of seeing the band live and be like, oh my god, it's my favorite band. They're playing that song I love. I'm gonna dance up and down and get drunk. Yeah, in here you don't really. Maybe would you say that maybe the venues have something to do with that, or the lack of?
I mean, I feel like I really because you know like I work at a venue and I see, and I think like everyone's doing what they need to do. It's just people get down because they remember how it used to be, but yeah. Things are different. Like yeah, there's Netflix alone, I think is like eating into the live audiences for like everything.
Yeah,
and it just and I just think you know like. Honestly, right now, like guitar-driven and rock music is on the downswing. You know, people are more into EDM, things like that, clubbing. You know, like the clubs. Yeah. You know, like Bent Willie's will still be packed. Sure, yeah. That's where a lot of the call. I think that's where the disconnect between, like, the college and the live music scene in Morgantown is right now, because it seemed it used to be like they were more integrated. Like the students were more involved in the local music scene, and now it seems like the local music scene. At least as far as we're involved, is more like townies and people our age and
people that have already graduated,
right?
And still hang around and play music, which I don't know. I really like the scene up here. Like, there's a lot of really great bands. I could just rattle off like a dozen bands that I will go see.
I mean, you can.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Well, they're not Morgantown, but I'm super into Ryan right now, so I'm
yeah, Ryan. Is
I'm talking to everyone about Ryan. Yeah. I mean, they're Shepherdstown, I think.
And the Fur.
With Tucker, really... actually Tucker Riggleman from Bishops is in that band.
Yeah. I loosely know Tucker just from playing the shows and stuff like that.
He's a good guy.
Oh yeah. And Ryan just like, because I've seen them once live, and I was just like, just I think I actually did sound for that show, and like as a sound guy, you're kind of objective, you know what I mean? But like. Every once in a while, the band will come up and play. You're just like, oh, this is great. You know what I mean? I wish I wasn't working right now. Yeah. And Ryan was definitely one of those bands. Like, The Fur right now is, like, really starting to...
Yeah, they've been doing cool stuff, right?
Yeah, they like have.
They're picking up some steam, you know? Mm-hmm. They've got such a cool, like, just their whole vibe and everything. Their live show is kind of... There's a lot of visual elements incorporated into it.
You know The Fur?
No, I don't.
Oh, they're cool. They're like a psychedelic garage band from up here.
Oh, cool.
They just have I guess that real 90s vibe. That's the thing right now. It's like all the good bands that I'm like thinking of, like Good Wolf,
yeah,
90s
absolutely.
Vibe, Roswell Kid, 90s yeah. vibe, like us, like, you know, ripping off Pixies songs. Yeah. It's like a 90s
Nicki Minaj
vibe.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
The mashup you always wanted of Pixies and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, that'd actually be great.
Yeah.
Work on that.
I always thought we were like what happens if like like, well, yeah, this is like the element of our band. Because honestly, I was like, I spent a long time just not listening to any kind of rock music at all until I started playing with Josh. He's like the rock element of what we do. Because yeah. I'm just like the...
He's like the James Taylor, and I'm the John Bonham or something. Except, like, not as, you know, I don't want to say that. That's very...
No, you're better than John Bonham.
Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, he hasn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
That was a good soundbite. That was a great, perfect quote.
I want to go back to Tyler Grady, because he collaborated with you all on, was it 2012 or 2013 on your release? 2012, Shanghai. Yeah, that's right, Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, yeah.
So it's really random because their practice spot is in the same warehouse as our practice spot, and I was just up there doing the backup vocals for that song, recording it, and he was messing around down in their spot. And I was like, hey, Tyler, you want to come up here and sing on this song? He's like, sure. So that was like a half an hour and then done. It was really cool.
Well, it's actually I think it was his birthday yesterday.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a birthday last week, so you know, shout out to him for his birthday. But with the collaborations though you've had with him, how did you know about him or Good Wolf to begin with? Or was that just you in that warehouse?
Well, when I first moved up here, like I knew I was going to move up here, so I started just doing a lot of research into like the local bands because I wanted to know who people were. Mm-hmm. And I just really dug his sound. Like it's got that just, I don't know, to me it's mm-hmm. like, everything's stripped away. It's just what I need to get off, I guess. But
well, yeah, this is the Tyler Grady make out hour because I'm gonna talk about I met him a few years ago he came over to when I was living with Grayson. He came over to our house one night and we sat around like bullshitting about music forever. And I was like, man, this dude knows. I want to talk about music with this dude, you know. So, yeah, but we didn't even do anything with him for...
One of our first shows we did up here, he came and opened up for us just acoustically. And nice. Then, like, at the end of the night, he sang on a couple Weezer songs, you know.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, having them... not just Good Wolf, but there's several other, like, awesome bands that share that warehouse down there. And
yeah, the warehouse is for real.
Like, that is actually... facilitated a lot of different...
I think Roswell Kid is recorded in there, like David Bellow, that's like where, you know,
the
Sleepwalker.
The world is a good place, and I'm not really on it.
Right, yeah. And
Brian records a lot down there. Brian Sprague, he does, and I think he works on his pedals down there too. He's got he makes custom pedal effects.
Oh, Bookworm.
Yeah. I think he does some work on them down there. The shop is going down, man. Like,
it's
Karma
like,
to Burn.
It's awesome.
Karma to Burn practice is in there.
Know that.
To me, it's like the hub of the scene. Like, because if that warehouse like weren't there, like,
where'd you go?
What would we all do?
Well, in Clean Dirty Clean, they're coming out with a new album soon. Chris was telling me, and Chris, the guy, and he plays drums in Clean Dirty Clean. He does a lot of stuff. He's a good dude.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, and we were talking about this last night after the show we had, because I'm in a band with Sprague and Mason from Ghost House. Formerly Ghost House, but we were just talking about it last night. Like these bands, like they're just so incestuous. Like Chris is in bands with guys I'm in bands with. You know what I mean? It's like there's maybe like half a dozen bands right now that just we all share members and shows and.
I would say it goes even beyond that, especially if you're doing statewide. Because Huntington, if you go to like the Huntington Music and Arts Festival. Pretty much everyone that's on stage is in like another band that's going to be on stage and another band that's going to be on stage. And it flows into each other. You're right, is a bit incestuous. Yeah. And like, this is the only way West Virginia has incest with its music scene and nothing else.
I was weary about using that word, but
it's okay.
It's really cool because that's to me, like, that's what a scene is. It's something that, you know, like, you can call a scene in retrospect almost. It's like, because people, you know, there's the whole like support the scene thing to me, but like reading about, you know, like the big music scenes that have happened in America, it's like, they never seem like, oh, this is the scene. It's always like, oh, that was the scene.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think that's probably, like it's the little, like the random, like, you know, like say like Tyler coming up and singing backup or just like us, you know, hanging out down in the bottom room with them, just like it's like the little things like that start to build
Yeah, it's not like starting a movement. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not like, it's not
it's just
crazy important. You know what I mean? It's not politics or anything like that. It's just like...
it's just, it's little steps towards camaraderie and like a sense of family.
It's people like just doing what they want to do too, you know. You can't force it. You can't, you know, nobody, yeah, there's no... There's nobody, like, there's, I guess, nobody's in there just, you know, to get famous, you know, everybody's there because they want to make good music, and they do, and they're talented, and, like, super creative, and they just, you know.
Yeah, doing it, yeah, because, like, there's parts of me that, like, the whole pushing for a big scene thing is almost just, like, it's ambitious, you know, which I think... Ambition can. This is why we're terrible at self-promotion. Ambition can really you got to be careful with ambition, you know, because isn't the point just to like explore, you know? And if you get ambitious about like accomplishments and notoriety and stuff like that, that's the game, and it'll drag you down.
Your Reverb Nation ranking.
Well, we have had a long and wonderful conversation about everything, and I've gotten a lot of great new band recs from you all just from that. Is there anything that you want to talk about in terms of the new record Low, or maybe future plans for False Pterodactyl?
Our plan right now is like, well, we're gonna put this next album together, and hopefully it'll be out. I'm like the timeline I'm setting up is hopefully by April. We'll have a new album out that's kind of a, I don't know, like Low got me on this idea, so I'm like, I'm trying to explore these ideas when we're recording now, and like, I think we'll just keep doing more of what we do, honestly, because it's gotten really fun again. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like for like a couple months, like maybe a year, it was almost a drag, and, like I was in a terrible relationship and like not really really super into the music, and like now just in the past couple months I've gotten like super super back into it, like more than I was probably when we first started. So I think I don't know, we're just gonna keep doing it because I'm having a blast.
We'll just keep on keeping on. As far as Low, I don't know if we have any, we'd like to put it out on CD or something. I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, when the new one comes out, we might just make a double disc or something like that.
Yeah. But, as far as that goes, just everybody should buy it, and everyone listening to this.
It's still for free. I can't put prices up on Bandcamp. It's like, I feel like I should be able to, but at the same time, it's like, what difference does it make? Like the $20 that we'll make from it, as opposed to like
everything we've done is free on Bandcamp, or like donation or whatever. But it's just, I feel. People are going to download it anyway, and I don't really, I'd rather them listen to it
than not listen to it.
Yeah.
Get caught up in the game, you know?
Right.
It's all about the game. That's what you should gather from this conversation.
Yeah.
Well, is there a last thought or a fun fact that you want to share about the band or your music?
It's interesting.
Lost in thought.
Yeah. We don't, I don't know, we're not very fun. We don't have too many fun facts.
It's weird because,
I don't know.
We're super interesting. Like, we're just like, we both grew up in the same place. Like, there's a lot of unspoken things that haven't been put into words, maybe. You know what I mean?
We don't.
That's a lyric. Right?
There's so many.
That's a lyric from the next song. There's so many things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to, we don't consciously sit down and talk about things always. Like, it just kind of comes out, like a lot of the songs.
Yeah, we just do stuff.
They just come out and...
Okay, well, how about this? Where's your favorite place to play in West Virginia?
Favorite place to play in West Virginia? I mean, 1, 2, 3, always. Like, I'm like Josh, I grew up one of my biggest goals with playing music was to play a show at 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean? And to be on U92, those were two goals I had, and it's awesome now because U92 will play everything we put out, and it's just awesome because that's the radio station that I listen to.
We're actually West Virginia Public Broadcasting and U92 are kind of forming a little like relationship so that we can kind of train and get some of them involved in our radio station, and we're actually 8 of the radio staff at U92 are coming up for a tour later today. with Mountain Stage, because that, I had a start in college radio, and I, you know, I weren't off the college radio, I wouldn't be in this job, and it's a kick-ass job.
Yeah, and U92 is such a good station. You know, even when college
like
stations
all the over half of like what I find and listen to that's new comes off at U92. Like I call in, I've got their number on my phone. You know what I mean? I call in all the time. I'm like, what are you guys playing?
Yeah, and, it's cool. No. If I'm in my car, if I'm in town, it's either I'm on U92 or I'm on, you know, West Virginia Public Radio. And that's like,
and they've done so much for us too. Like we've had a good relationship with the past couple program directors. You know what I mean? Just because they like us and play us. Like I don't know where we'd be without U92.
Yeah, they like passed out a bunch of our CDs at this, you know, student union thing. Yeah, they had going on. It's been super cool.
Yeah, that's my parting word: is listen to U92. You cannot go wrong.
And
West Virginia,
and West
Public,
Virginia
Radio.
Public Radio. Sorry.
And a change of tune.
False Pterodactyl released Low this past December on their Bandcamp. You can follow the band on social media. To hear more of their music, tune into A Change of Tune, airing Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening. I've been standing outside by myself.